Hey, podcasters, Dr. Rena Alau here, and I am excited to release this bonus episode. I had the pleasure of being invited as a special guest for the podcast called Dermasphere with Dr. Luke Johnson and Dr. Michelle Tarbox. And I hope you enjoy this episode about skin of color. Enjoy.
Hello, friends and colleagues, and welcome to episode 79 of Dermasphere, the podcast by dermatologists, for dermatologists, and for the dermatologically curious. I am one of your hosts. My name is Luke Johnson. I'm a pediatric dermatologist and general dermatologist with the University of Utah. And joining me, of course, is...
This is Dr. Michelle Tarbox. I am an associate professor of dermatology and dermatopathology at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in beautiful, sunny Lubbock, Texas.
Every 2 weeks, we come to you with some of the discussions about the latest research in clinical dermatology, and we have a special guest with us today. You might recall from some episodes ago that we are friends with a group called Level X, which is a company that makes video games to help train doctors, and they have one for dermatologists and dermatologic clinicians called Top Derm, and they very kindly invited Michelle and I to create some content. And they even drew us as cool-looking superheroes, and they called us Derm Heroes, which, again, is not an honor I deserve, but I think that Michelle does. And at the AAD this year, they had a contest, and whoever won the contest was a bona fide Derm Hero as well, and gets to appear on our show, which is this show. So I am pleased to introduce Dr. Rena Alau. Dr. Alau, thanks so much for joining us. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for Level X for nominating me to be on this show, and thank you both. I'm a board-certified dermatologist right outside of Philadelphia in King of Prussia. You might know it for the huge mall, and I see both adults and children, and I'm excited to be on to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is skin of color.
Awesome.
I would love to talk to you about skin of color. Let's do it. What should all dermatologists know about patients with skin of color?
Yeah, so one of the most tricky things about dermatology is that all skin conditions can appear in different ways based on your skin type. And so one of the biggest things that I always recommend for dermatologists and residents who are training and medical students is to really look at different skin conditions and different skin types. So really look at pictures online or in your patients itself. And for example, psoriasis, be comfortable with what psoriasis may look like in a Caucasian individual versus someone who has a little bit of a darker Fitzpatrick skin type, such as someone who's Hispanic or Middle Eastern like myself or African American. So having that background is going to really make you better able to diagnose skin conditions and even counsel patients on their skin condition. And then one of the other, you know, big advice that I have when it comes to skin of color is everyone has different treatment goals, and individuals of skin of color may have a little bit of a different treatment goal. Specifically, and I think you guys may be able to comment as well, with hyperpigmentation tends to be a huge concern for individuals of skin of color, just because, you know, not only the cosmetic appearance, but maybe a cultural concern as well. And so addressing that, and just not only addressing the skin condition, but also mentioning that they may have hyperpigmentation because of the skin condition, I think makes your interaction with the patient a lot more more strong.
Absolutely. I am so grateful that you're on the podcast talking with us about this today, because I think it's such an important issue. And it's one we're starting to recognize we are under-educating our residents in, and are starting to make efforts towards closing that knowledge gap. But I think having people who have authentic, like, passion for improving the state of care for patients with skin of color at the forefront of that discussion is so important. So we're super happy to have you here. I think also patients who have part of their life experience in countries where certain conditions are more prevalent, dyspigmentation can even be more distressing. I have some patients that originate from Southeast Asia or from India who, when they have pigmentary disorders, it's a lot more distressing because in the environments where they've spent part of their life, there can be an association with leprosy or other transmissible disease with dyspigmentation. Have you run into that or have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see that with a lot of my Middle Eastern, Southeast Asian patients as well, where they're concerned that it may also, especially with hyperpigmentation specifically, or even vitiligo, they almost feel like it's going to make them less of an individual, or may make them, even when they're, for example, I actually had a patient the other day and her daughter was going through a common Indian ceremony during around puberty. And she was really concerned about her, not necessarily the eczema, but hyperpigmentation. And she said, well, people are going to think she's dirty because she's got these dark marks. And so it's more of a culture. I agree with you, Michelle. I think, you know, there's definitely a stigma against hyperpigmentation and even in vitiligo too, you know, because it's a little bit more highlighted when you have a darker background of skin, it almost, they may think of it as just not only a skin disease, but is this contagious? Is this, you know, associated with leprosy or with an infectious disease? So there's a lot of concern with that as well.
So speaking of post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, it sucks and it's hard to treat. So what I tell patients is obviously sun protection is really, really important. I can use topical retinoids. Sometimes I use hydroquinone. And then I tell them again that sun protection is super, super important. And I can tell them it can take like a long time, like a year, maybe even a couple of years for it to get better. But it will get better generally. Is there anything else I should be doing or am I doing it wrong?
No, I think you have a great approach with when sun protection is the main stay for preventing worsening of the hyperpigmentation. A lot of patients will come in, especially skin of color, and they may not necessarily wear sunscreen at all. Or if they wear it, they're only wearing it when they have increased or prolonged sun exposure. And so, especially for melasma, for example, I usually, you know, will kind of counsel them on sunscreen and then focusing on sunscreen that has broad coverage. So UVA and UVB. So making sure that their sunscreen has zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. And a lot of times in patients with skin of color, they don't like the appearance of sunscreen. It's white and pasty. So really finding a sunscreen that works for them and kind of counseling them on all these different, you know, sunscreens. And there's some now that have, that are tinted, which are a little bit, you know, more cosmetically appeasing, you know, for these patients. But hydroquinone is great. You know, there are, you know, certain, I'm not a cosmetic dermatologist by any means, but I do refer a lot of my patients to cosmetic dermatologists in the area and do some, a little bit of laser myself, but refer a lot of the patients who have hyperpigmentation to talk about certain lasers. Interestingly, at the American Academy of Dermatology, I went to a lecture about hyperpigmentation, and one of the lecturers had mentioned topical licorice extract for hyperpigmentation. I don't know. Have you guys, either of you, used this before?
So that's an interesting question. There was an Aveeno skincare line that had a licorice extract in it. I think lycocalein was the name, if I'm remembering correctly. And the attempts to sort of inhibit some of the pigmentation that can happen post-inflammatory states. And I do think that there is some option for efficacy. You have to be a little bit careful because it can be photosensitizing, if my understanding is correct. So the use has to be tailored towards avoiding that exposure. But I think it is a nice potential alternative for people who are my crunchy granola patients, like I like to say, the patients that really want everything natural. I think you just have to be careful about sourcing it and counseling the patient about sun exposure while they're using it. But I do think that that's a potentially useful treatment as well. And then one other thing we've got interested with in Dermosphere is talking about under-recognition of skin cancer in patients with skin of color. And in fact, the unfortunate prevailing thought, even sometimes amongst some medical practitioners, that patients with skin of color can't have skin cancer. Back in episode 7, we talked about Dianora Torres, who is a former Miss Universe who came forward with her own personal story about melanoma and how that actually improved visit rates for patients who have a similar skin type and ethnic background to her. And so I wondered if you had any thoughts about skin cancer in patients with skin of color.
Yeah, certainly. That's a great point, because a lot of patients come in and of darker skin types, and they don't necessarily think they need an annual skin exam or screening. And so I have seen quite a few of skin cancers and skin of color. A lot of patients who grew up in the Middle East or in Southeast Asia. I have patients who grew up in the Caribbean who have had extensive sun exposure with little sunscreen use. And I have identified some skin cancers. We don't just see melanomas in these patients. We can also see, you know, basal cells and squamous cells. And I think commonly we think of these skin non-melanoma skin cancers in Caucasians or more fair skin types. And yes, these individuals are at a more increased risk, but certainly I have seen basal cells in darker skin types. And one of the things actually that is most concerning is that these patients may not necessarily have these skin cancers identified earlier on, and they actually may become a little bit more aggressive because they're less likely to be diagnosed in the earlier stages. And so that's the main concern. And I believe that the American Academy of Dermatology, on their website, they actually have they comment on skin cancer and skin of color, and specifically how they have noted that these skin cancers tend to be more in the more advanced stages because they're less likely to be diagnosed in the earlier stages, which is concerning. And so getting, you know, it really starts with if a patient of skin of color is coming in for hyperpigmentation, having that, you know, that opportunity to counsel them on, okay, well, we're going to give you sunscreen for, you know, or recommend sunscreen for your hyperpigmentation or your melasma. But when was the last time you had a skin exam? And seeing their primary care doctor for skin exams is great, but really seeing a board certified dermatologist is even more important.
I think that's awesome. I think one thing people really love when they listen to the podcast is pearls, like mm-hmm. things that you can use in your clinical practice that are actionable. Do you have any pearls for treating patients with skin of color?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that I would recommend or a pearl when it comes to skin of color is really trying to address not only the skin condition, but also kind of focus on, you know, how it's impacting them. And I think that really ties into what we talked about before with the cultural issues. Because I think what happens is when for example, I had a patient the other day who, she was also from India, and she had lichen planus, and she was just overdoing it with the topical steroids. She started getting hypopigmentation. She was not, you know, really, you know, she didn't, you know, even though we talked about the topical steroid use, she was just going after the lichen planus on her arms. And so really, you know, I kind of try to understand why she was doing it. And she was so focused on the hyperpigmentation. She didn't care if she bleached her skin. So really kind of counseling these patients, discussing the hyperpigmentation, that's the most important thing. The other thing that with skin of color that I've just been learning and I continue to learn and sometimes struggle with, I don't know about you guys, is hair loss. Mm-hmm. With skin of color. Yeah. And it's really hair care practices. And one, you know, big pearl that I have is talking to the patient's hairdressers. I think that's the most important thing, especially when it comes to traction alopecia and CCCA, central centrifugal cicatricial alopecia. So I have a few patients that I've reached out to the hairdressers because I've been injecting, we talk about, you know, other treatment options, and we just kind of hit a wall. And it really comes down to their hair care practices and talking to their hairstylists about hair care practices and how to, you know, make sure that the braids are loose and to avoid any extra weight on the hair follicle. That's the biggest pearl. And I think we don't think about that sometimes. And I actually learned that from a colleague of mine who had mentioned it to me. And so I just will never forget that. And I always get their hairdresser's information. And so I think that's one of my other recommendations.
That's awesome. I think that's a fantastic thing to do. One thing I do in my clinic is when I see a patient for other things who has skin of color, who has a natural hairstyle or a braided hairstyle that is well done, that's mm-hmm. not putting traction, I actually ask them, who does your hair?
Oh, that's in a our good community? Idea. Yeah.
And then I make a little list of people who I know how to do textured hair in a way that's gentle to it, that's not going to promote traction alopecia. And then one other pearl that I learned when, I think I learned this from James Taylor, not the singer, but James Taylor, the contact dermatitis specialist, is to use tangential lighting to perceive elevations of the skin because they're less noticeable in patients with skin of color because there's not this stark contrast between like red and light like there can be in people who are more peach or beige or whatever.
Right.
But that tangential lighting helps a lot to pick up, like, is there a wheal? Is there a plaque? Is there papules that are harder to perceive mm-hmm. in a darker background? And I found that to be very useful also.
Luke, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Lau. We don't want to take up too much of your time. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with while we've got you here on the mic?
Just one last thing. One resource that I really love is actually Dr. Susan Taylor. She practices in Philadelphia. She is an active member of the Skin of Color Society, and she has a great book. I think she wrote it with someone else. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but it's a great resource. I use it. I reference it a lot during my clinic. And so if you're ever interested in skin of color, they have a website. The Skin of Color Society has a great website that has resources, but also the textbook is amazing and has excellent pictures and just all these skin conditions and different skin types. So I love it and I just highly recommend it.
And it looks like it might just be called Dermatology Skin of Color?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
And if our listeners want to learn more about you and your stuff, do you have social media, websites, podcasts, anything like that you'd like to let us know about?
Yeah, so I have a podcast myself called Skinning the Surface. So I interview some physicians, pharmacists, individuals from the community and then also abroad, just tailored to the average listener. And then you can follow me at Dr. Rena Derm is my Instagram. And then our website is skinthesurfacepod.com. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Excellent. We will put that information in the show notes, and hopefully we'll see you again sometime in the Derm Hero Hall of Justice.